Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Hopefully, everyone is having a magnificent Tuesday. I can't believe I almost forgot what day of the week we were on as things are opening and closing and closing and opening all over again due to COVID-19. But it is Tuesday. We are here, and we have so much on the show today. It is absolutely nuts. We have radio host and sports personality here in the Valley, Michael Caratenuto will be joining us at 10 minutes after the hour. Things are going to get into today. More baseball players opt out. More basketball players opt out of playing. I want to go over some sound that we had here during this weekend. We held a panel discussion with some of the top athletes. Top veteran athletes. I have some sounds from Jamel Fleming, from Ed Smith. We're going to talk about crowd noise. We're going to give you their thoughts. This show is absolutely loaded, so let's just get it rolling. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School and Chandler Heights. Feel free to drop in. I know things are changing because of COVID. They are still open. You will not be able to partake in the beer and wine, but they are still open, ready to roll, ready to get your sticks to you. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. 4991 South Alma School, that is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Let them know PLR sent you, get 10% off of your cigar purchase. The changing everything in the world isn't deterring us from being there live on Thursday. If anything does change, I'll let you know. But we are scheduled to be there for Cigars in the Cave Show. Also on Thursday, special guest, boxing promoter Michelle Rosado is scheduled to be on with us. We're going to talk about how COVID is affecting boxing and especially what she does as a promoter. Anyway, tune us in. Check us out every day, not just on Thursday, but this is PLR. This is the Cave Show. And thank you for joining us today. Let's just jump right into this. You heard the topic. Sure, what we want to talk about. Don't want to delay it. I do want to get a call in if we can before our guest joins us. Call in number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law line. And I do have a caller on air with PLR. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
All right. So what do we really can expect from Cam Newton? Because Riverboat Ron was saying, don't underestimate Newton. You know, when he, even though his numbers have slipped over the past year, but when he comes to the Patriots, the rest of the league better be warned. Like, you're going to buy this?
Yes.
I thought
it's,
so.
Cam Newton has been, we got to remember, he's had injuries. When healthy, Cam was very good. Before he got hurt, the Carolina Panthers were 6-2. And they were rolling. Mm-hmm. And then he got hurt, and then obviously they fell off. Cam can play. Now, here's a question. Can right. Cam play in that system? Can Cam, without mm-hmm. an off season, without a good training camp, because everything is up in the air with COVID, will he be able to adjust, and will Bill Belichick be able to adjust to him? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. I've seen Randy Moss go into that system, and it worked well. I've seen Corey Dillon go into that system, and it worked well. Now, granted, Tom Brady is the magic elixir and everything, but at the same time, Cam is not like he's the Peter Man playing in Buffalo. So I think they're going to be fine. There's four entities that should be very mad about Cam signing. The Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, and Jarrett Stidham. They should all be mad. Because if Cam is healthy, he is going to do damage.
I thought you might say that. And you're still thinking they're going to be high contenders this year with Newton's presence.
I do. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? So here's a lose-lose if you're a fan of any other team in that division.
Yeah.
If Cam doesn't play, it means Jarrett Stidham is the real deal, and they pick up where they left off with Tom Brady. If Cam Newton plays, it means Cam is back to being Cam, and that's even more dangerous. So I don't see how – I'm going to quote my man from Count of Monte Cristo. I don't see how this is a bad plan.
Maybe for them, but for the rest of us.
But you're a Jets fan.
That's
the problem.
Right. Of all the teams he could have went to, he had to go with New England.
He's just keeping you happy, right?
Yeah.
So, but no, that's the that's all, you know. It's New England. New England's New England.
I know, but I just thought maybe kind of going a downward spiral. You know, now with Brady gone, but nope. Now you get Newton, but Newton's been down the last couple of years, so I don't know. I don't know if Golden is going to be, you know, getting them to be Super Bowl contenders right away. I'm not so sure.
But even with Brady, I don't think they would have been a Super Bowl contender. To be perfectly honest with you, I think Baltimore would be the team that I would pick, and Kansas City would be another team that I would have picked over them. And then if Ben Roethlisberger at his age is healthy, I would put them right with them. I mean, we gotta remember, Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin got that team almost to the playoffs with the guy known for his duck calling abilities. So if they have a real quarterback, you gotta figure they're gonna have two or three more wins. So that puts them at least on pace. So there are some teams that I just don't know. I mean, when you look at the AFC, they're not as heavy up top as the NFC is. You have the Super Bowl champs in Kansas City. You have Lamar Jackson out there in Baltimore. But in fairness to, you know, without me disrespecting another team, you got the Colts, who are going to roll out an old Phillip Rivers in hopes that he can have something left in the tank. You have Houston
Rivers
with Deshaun Watson, who's really good, but their coach is an imbecile. So,
that's true.
You know, somewhere along the lines, he's going to let them down. And then when you get to your division, I'm sorry, but the Jets aren't very good on either side of the ball. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins are young, and Buffalo has a quarterback. In all honesty, that's, you know, one day he's good and one day he's not. So when you start looking at all this stuff, you start, you know, you have to stop and think, but what is Cleveland going to do? And let's say Cleveland is better. Well, let's say Cleveland is better now that they have an adult to coach the team. But let's say they're better. They still have to get by Baltimore in that division. They still have to get by Pittsburgh in that division. And Cincinnati's hot garbage. So it's not like that's a – I think what New England's going to try to do, and they'll never say it, but I think what they're going to try to do is do what they do every year, win their division and see what happens.
Yeah. Especially if you got a coach imbecile. I mean, I could get something too.
We all know that the coach of the Texans is an imbecile. I have an NFL player that comes on this show.
I was going to say
NFL
Detroit,
player
but okay.
That says that. Oh, well, Detroit, they're imbeciles too, but they're an imbecile in a different division, in a different conference.
I know, but they're far worse.
They are, but we were talking to AFC and what New England had to do.
I get it. You got to make it two imbeciles. You got one for Detroit, and you got the coach for Detroit, and then, of course, you got – over on the other side, The Clowns.
Yeah,
the Browns.
Yeah, the Browns. But you know what? The Browns are going to be better. I really, truly believe that. I do.
Oh.
I think when you have an adult to be your head coach, it makes a big difference. They didn't have an adult. They had a guy who was suited to do what he did the year before. He was not a head coach. There are guys that are great coordinators. There are guys that are great play callers. Then there are guys that are coaches. Head coaches have to be able to manage an entire team, not just one side of the ball.
Right.
And he doesn't. And who they had in Cleveland last year didn't do that.
So it wasn't really hot in Cleveland, was it?
Oh wow! You really went to that show, huh?
No, I don't like it, but I just thought it made a great joke. I thought it was just perfect fitting.
You went to that show. You used to watch that, didn't you?
Not really. Well, I do like Valerie Bertinelli, so if that's any indication, maybe a little.
So that's a hard yes.
A hard yes.
Hey, man.
Come on. She was every schoolboy's dream back then. Come on.
There's nothing wrong with liking certain shows. I have a guilty pleasure. I like Days of Our Lives. I'm not ashamed.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Back in high school, I was. Back in high school, I was really into that.
Back in yesterday. I'm going back to high school. Back in yesterday. Kristen DeMera
They had one character that I think is still part of the show, and the girl was like every schoolboy's dream then, too. She played Jennifer. Oof.
Jennifer Martin, still around.
Well, the character name was Jennifer.
Yeah, no, I'm saying she's still there.
Yeah. And
still
she's from my home state of New Jersey.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Jennifer Martin.
I'll leave it at that.
And it was Jennifer Horton. I'm sorry, I said Jennifer Martin.
That's
Jennifer
right.
Horton. Yeah, Jennifer Horton. Yep. All right, my friend.
New Jersey.
Talk to you.
All right.
Bye, buddy. Later. Always good to catch up with Lou, my man. All right, so we have the one only Michael Caratanino hopping on with us. We're going to pay a bill, and then we're going to bring him right on.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The law office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the law office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. A couple things I want to mention about Maduro's there before we hop over to Michael. You can become a club member there. Get a locker. Keep all your sticks in there. Never worry about anything going bad. And if you can't make it down to Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco over on Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, you can order your cigars online at Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. With all that being said, there's a lot going on in the world. I want to get the one only Mr. Diablo himself, his updates on what's going on in the world of baseball. Welcome to the cave. So I'll start with PLR. What's up, my friend?
Oh, you know, just enjoy the nice hot weather, and glad that annoyed to see that bars had to shut down again because people want to not be crazy responsible, Paul.
That was the politest thing I've ever heard. People were showing their ass, Mike. They were acting a fool.
Yeah,
and you know what happened when you show your ass and act a fool? It gets shut down, and that's exactly what happened.
Yep. Yeah.
So
we talked about it last time I was on. I mean, having two cousins that are doctors, like I said, one's in New York, but like, you know, there's the over sensationalizing of everything and trying to get people to, you know, the sky's falling and live in fear. But there's people that actually are educated and being responsible. It's like, yeah, man, I don't like this quarantine anymore than anybody else. And, you know, just having to go to the store when I need to and, you know, get things. But at the same time, like, I mean, it's just quit the whining, wear the masks, stay distanced, and. I mean, we got to get through it somehow.
You know what? Just jumped into certain. Look, I understand reopening. I get that. But people just were nuts. Health clubs, some health clubs lied. They said they would do every other thing. They didn't do every other thing. They let people get right close together. Bars, man, look, you remember going to ASU. I remember going to ASU. I remember at the age of 21, I was probably not the brightest person on earth. So I thought I was invincible and nothing would happen to me. And that's exactly what these kids did. They were packed into bars, and bars did nothing to mitigate it. But at the same time, I'm not mad at the bars. If you're going to let me make money, I'm not going to stop making money. Now, should I have had a better social conscience as a bar owner, if I'm a bar owner? Yeah, but at the same time, I've been shut down for over a month. I'm trying to get money when I can. The problem is, by doing that, what's the saying? I'd rather take a dime a minute for 60 minutes than take a dollar at once.
Right,
and the
absolutely.
Clubs didn't think of that. So that's on there, man. Here's what I'm thinking about, though, with baseball. We had Mike Leake opt out yesterday, and Diamondbacks didn't seem too happy. I think that kind of caught him off guard. But we also have Zimmerman with the Nationals. We have Ian Desmond with the Rockies. And players are slowly opting out. What's your thoughts on players opting out and not playing baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say surprised. I mean, it's baseball, so why would I be surprised? But, I mean, I know each individual case is different. So Mike Leake is going to be is an unrestricted free agent anyway. Is it really worth him for him to be around for 60 games in which, if he is and he's starting, you know, I mean, what, you get 12 starts? You get 12 – I mean, if he's had all of them, he may get 12 starts. So, I mean, is it really worth it for him to come in, go through that, go through 60 games? Financially, he's made the money. I mean, again, everybody's in different situations. So financially, he's probably looking at it as an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, and he's not going to get paid. So if they want to opt out and not get paid, then from what I understand, unless I read that wrong, Paul, but I mean, if they're going to opt out and not get paid, then, you know, hey, guys that want to do it. But I mean, again, at 60 games, it's pathetic. You know, the like we had shortly mentioned last time, the billionaires arguing with millionaires and then putting articles out there like, oh, we're going to lose this much money to, you know, 33 million people that are unemployed that, you know, are, yes, there's a CARES Act, but which is awesome, understandably. But at the same time, like, you're going to complain about paying your players, and then you have the nervous owners to say, oh, we're going to lose this because we can't play in front of fans. Like, yeah, they don't sit in reality. But for the players that don't want to, I mean, you know, it's a wee bit shocking considering all the, you know, battling, bantering back and forth that's gone on between us in this negotiation. But, hey, it's a business decision, right? So if they want to make it and he wants to sit out and, you know, be even more fresh for when next season starts, good for him. But if I'm the team, of course I'd be a little frustrated.
Well, I think teams have to look at it, and I, maybe it's just him because I'm not a GM, so maybe I'm looking at it from a, you know, from a different point of view. But when a player opts out before it even starts, to me you have to look at it as, what if this guy sprained his ankle and had a high ankle sprain and would be out for 2 months? Or if this guy, you know, got into spring training and broke his wrist, he would be out for the rest of the time. So I think GMs, with their 60-man rosters, they almost had to, and well, I'm hoping they all did, had to plan for, if this guy gets injured in these 60 games, we're going to be without him anyway. Who is going to be our next man up? And I'm hoping, right, and I'm sure Mike Hazen, who's very good at his job, did that for every single position that's out there. It just sucks when it's a guy that you really thought that was going to be there. But I think every team has to do that. Mike, I think every team has to look at it as someone's going to opt out, and we just have to treat it like they were injured.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Hazen and Torrey Lovello, I mean, you hit on that there, have a really good, obviously a very good working relationship. I mean, Torrey Lovello, every time I've been around him, you see just the way, I mean, you know, the communication he's had from the beginning in the clubhouse, you know, as the players have talked about it, and you just see him even around the batting cages and, you know, when they're taking infield, but just the communication, you know, the lineups that he's put together and, you know, making trades, obviously. But, yeah, him and Mike Hazen have a solid relationship like that. And, yeah, I mean, they're definitely two that I would think were, you know, obviously on the phone, you know, video conferencing, whatever, going hand-in-hand, like, okay, we're getting close. Finally, if, like you said, if he's not going to be here, what are we going to do? So, I mean, you're pretty much ranking your guys, you know, I mean, obviously in your big league club, but in your minor league system, you know, you're literally everybody's got a ranking, you know, position-wise, want to go, oh, well, if he goes down, who do we want? Do we want to bring up more utility guys, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. We'll see if, you know, I'd be interested to see, you know, because obviously they're going to get 100% of their pro rated, but I'd be interested to see if somebody like a Bryce Harper or a Mike Trout decides to maybe opt out, like somebody making that kind of big money. I don't think they will, but again, then it would be interesting to see the reaction of just, you know, baseball media in general and other baseball players.
Just based on brand, first off, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cape Show with PLR, the one, the only, Mike Caratenuto. I like, got to put that emphasis on the O because that's the strength of the name. I don't think anyone with that swag is going to opt out. I think when you get to right. that level, your brand would dictate, because if you're one of those guys and you opt out and it's not a health reason and it's not because you yourself have the issue, people are can be jerks. And they'll say, well, you know, Terrence Dolanski, the backup to the backup third baseman with the Marlins, he's playing through it and he has the same thing. He doesn't make a gazillion dollars. So I don't think that's the kind of heat, the kind of smoke that they want. But what I do want to ask you, though, is Yasmani Tomas, what has he done? Like, I looked at that 60-man roster, and did he get, like, crumbs in the bed or what? I mean, it really seems like, outside looking in, Mike Hazen, you know, basically gave the standard answer. But outside looking in, it's almost like the Diamondbacks are like just saying, take this last bit of money we owe you and go somewhere because you're not coming back up to the big leagues. Am I the only one that's seeing this?
Well, no. And, I mean, that's kind of been talk around the press box, you know, especially a little bit that when I've been there, but the little bit that we've talked about, Tomas, is that it's obviously a contract before Torrey Lovello got here. You know, yes, Kent Kendrick and Derek Hall are still there, but it's definitely a guy that I don't think got on the train with Torrey Lovello and what, you know, he wanted to do. And, I mean, is the talent there? I mean, yeah, they paid him. I mean, Paul, you remember when the guy was on the field, I mean, you know, obviously defensively, man, not the best, but, I mean, very serviceable. But offensively, I mean, dude could just rake, and defensively, yeah, I'd say way above average. So I just think it's a philosophy thing. I mean, talking to some of the guys that are around the club more than, you know, I was, but I was always, I don't understand. I'm like, God, why would you not want that offensive production on your bench? But yeah, I mean, it's a contract. I mean, they weren't just going to let him go to just pay him. And, you know, I think that teams saw that right away. And of course, we're hoping that they would, because trade value wise, I mean, I'm sure they definitely try to trade him and get that. But no, you hit the nail on the head, my friend. It's pretty much been the whole time. Like, he's been down in the minors, nobody's traded for him. And of course, you know, he'll stay down in the minors because they're still paying him that money. So,
right.
I just don't understand why they would not try to trade him, but I just think this, and again, it's not like it was, you know, a cheater like A-Rod or, you know, kind of contract where it's like $30 million a year, but I just think teams, you know, see it and figure, well, let them release them because we figure we could pick them up. They weren't offering good trade value for him. So, I mean, you have to applaud. I mean, I guess if you're a Diamondbacks fan, you have to applaud Mike Hazen in that, just to not dump him for, you know, guys that would never see the field. Or maybe you have a chance to see the field, or just kind of however you want to look at it. But I mean, I'm with you, man. It's crazy to me to even in baseball to pay somebody to be in the minor leagues, and they definitely butted heads. And I mean, if Tomas never, and again, it's not like I'm saying Torrey Lavelle wanted his way, but I just think maybe if he was a problem in that clubhouse, because I mean, you saw it. I mean, Lavelle's first year, I mean, just the way they, you know, the communication, and I mean, you know, every season after that, it's just an open communication, an open dialogue, and you know, guys genuinely seem to like each other in there and get along. And you know, you get one person like it that, and they're not maybe given the effort that the manager sees fit, then that you get a Yasmani Tomas. But man, I'm with you. I mean, I would be annoyed if I was in the minors, but if I'm getting paid like that, I'm, you know, you just smile and take your money.
Yeah, man. Like I said, he must have got busted eating crackers in the bed. But for $13 million, dude, I'm like, you know what? Honestly, this is what I think it is. Taking what you said, I think if they release him, they don't want to just release him and have him go somewhere and maybe do damage against them while they're still paying him. And then if you trade him, because you haven't played him and you haven't brought him up, you're not going to get the real value for him. And I'm sure at this point with his contract, he's not a great trade bait, because a team is going to say, wait a second, you're paying him $13 million and he isn't coming to the big leagues, but you want us to give you somebody? So I think this is one of those, the contract ends, and then we see what ends up happening after that. But yeah, like I said, man, I was just like, wow, this guy. I saw that I looked at that 60-man roster, and I read that email twice, Mike. I went down, came back up, went back down. I was like, ooh. And this is scratching my head. I was like, somebody ain't on this list.
Yeah, he's been on the wrong side of, again, I mean, and it's, I don't even think it's just Torrey Lavello. I mean, maybe even like, Dave McKay or, you know, and Mike Hazen too. I mean, they're communicating. And yeah, when I looked at the 60 man and I didn't see his name, I was like, oh, wow, that is the final straw. But you're right. I mean, nobody trade value wise, that's the thing. But here's the thing, if I'm the Diamondbacks to get rid of him, if you wanted somebody and somebody's like that, I'm not saying a Yankees where you offer to pay half, but just say, hey, I get people say, oh, the Diamondbacks is not, whatever. The money's there. Be like, look, okay, we can work some out. We'll pay, you know, $3.5 million of the contract a year. So yeah, you take a little bit of a hit. So the other team's paying 10, the Diamondbacks are paying 3.5. I'm sure a team would have done that, but I know people say, and then people say, oh, the Diamondbacks, you know, oh, they can do that, but you know, they don't want to spend money. I mean, whatever, fans can say what they want, but you're right. I just, they didn't see fit, but man, like I said, to pay somebody $13 million to play in the minors and nobody, but see, that's the other side too, Paul, you bring up a great point. The fact I get 100% what you say, but the fact that nobody would budge on a trade thing for him, because there's quite a few teams, obviously his back could have helped, even if you ship him to the American League, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so I'm, in a way, even just talking through this with you, I'm surprised that no team, especially a team that was right there as, you know, borderline contender, needed a bat, would be like, okay, what can we work out? And if they were that desperate, maybe the Diamondbacks didn't, or maybe the Diamondbacks just give them, you know, one lump cash sum of, say $7 million.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You know,
because
there's always cash considerations.
Look, if you're Tomas, here's the flip side. Have you been, Mike, have you ever been to Reno?
Oh, yeah. I love Reno.
Okay. Oh, good Lord. There's something wrong with you. For $13 million in Reno, you could live like a king. That shit, let me go ahead and alienate people while I'm doing this. Reno, Tucson, and El Paso are the three biggest armpits I've ever been to in my life. I was in Reno for 3 days, free flight, free hotel, for 3 days, two nights and 3 days, free. After 6 hours, I was like, wow, I got another night after this night to be in this hellhole, because I wasn't going to Tahoe. I was just staying in Reno. And I was like,
right.
Other than this just being a landing spot for Tahoe, this was the biggest. I will not get those 60-some hours of my life back. And I wait for them in Reno.
Wow.
It is an
you didn't like the biggest little city in the world? You didn't like the biggest little city in the world?
That's the biggest little elbow armpit in the world.
Oh,
man, that city sucks.
Oh,
yes, I will
wow.
I will alienate Reno, Tucson, and El Paso, the three worst cities I've ever been in my life. Ever. They suck. And I've been to a city called Campsville, Illinois, that has one restaurant, one store, and a ferry. And it's better than the three of those put together.
I'm glad you're getting out of your shell, Todd. That's how you really feel. I love it.
Hey, man.
Oh, man. No,
just being
I can't really disagree. I've been to Tahoe. I mean, yeah, we're in Reno, but it was in Tahoe. And then, but yeah, I mean, Reno is interesting. Like I said, just, you know, the biggest little city in the world. And, I mean, he could live like a king. He could live like a king.
When cities have to name themselves something to make you want to go there, it tells you it's a shithole. Biggest little city. In other words, we're not Vegas. We're nowhere near Vegas. We're colder than Vegas, and our casinos suck. They should just market it. Tell the truth. The biggest little city. That even sounds stupid. That's a stupid name. That's like someone saying, I'm the biggest, I'm the smallest.
It's got a catch to it, though. I'm not saying it's not stupid, but it still has a catch. That's why it works.
Mike, if you want to date and the person that you were dating, male or female, it doesn't matter to me, say if they were the smallest fat person in the world. What the hell does that mean?
Well, when you put it that way, yeah, I guess our hypocrisy knows no bounds. Yeah, when you put it that way. Oh, man.
I'm Carrie Lackey, long line here on occasion with PLR, Michael Caratino, radio personality, radio host, sports personality here in the Valley. I'm just calling it like I see it, Mike. I'm getting at an age where I don't have
you
time
notice how
to be
I'm
all
not
nice
arguing
anymore.
With you, though. I was just... You, but, yeah, you're calling like you see it, but you notice how I'm not arguing with you. I'm, you know, the cities you mentioned, I really don't think I have an affinity for them. So that being said, I'm not outraged. I'm not saying you don't have very beautiful, valid points. I just, you know, I've been to Reno, Tahoe, and I've had my fun drinking in the little tiny casinos and stuff. I was younger. It was entertaining. But either way, I'm not saying you're off base. Speaking of out of shape and stuff, I just think it's going to be in crazy baseball players saying, oh, they need all this time and this and that. But I just think it's going to be crazy to see who's out of shape the most. I think we could have – it'll be very interesting to see because I know people are saying, oh, basketball players, like – because I know if you like to relate basketball and baseball, obviously different as we know, but Vegas put a pick'em on the first basketball game, and they said, "Look, we don't know who's coming in overweight. We don't know who's deciding who's opting out. We don't know this, so of course they just put pick'em." So basically, it's like, "Hey, we're not going to put anything, but we'll sure take your money."
Hey, the most out of shape basketball player is going to be in more shape. In the best shape.
Oh, absolutely. No.
Baseball team.
Absolutely. No, but I'm just saying it'll be interesting to see baseball-wise, like, who comes back. Like, you know, for pitchers, it's going to be really interesting. You know, I think that's the one thing. I mean, you know, we're always – there. Yes, there are labor disputes in other sports, Paul, but why does it seem like in our lifetimes baseball's always – I mean, yeah, football had replacement players, you know, and – in, what was that, 87? I mean, there was no games for 2 weeks, and then there was, you know, five games with replacement players, and guys crossed the picket line, and that was that. But, I mean, baseball, it just seems like we talked about last time, just being tone deaf in the thing. And I'm not saying you have to apologize for being a great athlete or baseball player in this instance and making money. No. But, you know, don't put out tweets like, once again, we said when and where. You know me. I'm not saying the owners are right to try to make one deal and then another and then shortchange them and stuff like that. But don't put out tweets when and where. If they said, okay, well, everybody is getting tested the next 2 weeks, and then we're reporting right after that. That's the when and where. So you're all going to show up, right? I mean, yes, they have contracts and they should be paid. It's just when you're that going back and forth and rejecting and just being a petulant child, and the owners too. I'm not just saying the players. Everybody, when they hear what I'm saying, if both sides are being like petulant children, to be, again, this tone deaf in this climate. But, man, it's just it gets frustrating because I think in what their next, I guess, collective bargaining is after next season. So, I mean, they finish this season, they go through next season, but – and I've had a few people say to me, I mean, it's kind of overstating the obvious because that's the first thing I thought of too. Paul, how do you think those labor negotiations are going to go, especially when the players are going to be very sour about how this went down? Like, even
how
though the players are to blame too.
How would a negotiation go down if you told your wife you'd be home at 11 and you walked in at 6 a.m.? How would that conversation be? Okay. Well, multiply that by 12, and that's exactly what it's going to be like. Both sides, neither side,
right,
plus either side. And that's why in all the meetings with players and management, no one wants to even talk about it. They just want to talk about this year. They don't even want to get into it.
But here, right, exactly. But here's the one thing where the players, and like I said, when the owners and, you know, when the players are just saying they want their full prorated contracts, I think anybody that's in any kind of industry or business could understand that. Like, hey, we didn't cause this, you know, situation to happen. Okay, we will work with you. And then they have an agreement with the owners, and then the owners, you know, try to tweak and tweak and tweak. And the owners never came out, so they didn't do that. But here's the thing. Like, where fans will side with the players, the next collective bargaining, because they're going to throw it in their face. They're going to say, you're not honest. And, of course, the players are going to be like, you know, I mean, don't pull our good buddy Latrell Sprewell thing, like, oh, I got to feed my family too, because, you know, $15 million a year won't feed your family, but $17 million will.
I'll tell you this.
Exactly.
Rich people have different problems. They got different problems.
100%. But that's my point. That's why I think fans, to a little bit more, of course, if there's threat of a labor stoppage, will actually side with the players in baseball due to the fact of how shady. And again, if the I did see there was an alleged caveat of, you know, the prorated, but, you know, they would have to see, because if, you know, partial fans would be allowed, allegedly there was that. I didn't dig too much because, like I told you last time, as much as I wanted to go on, I could care less. Once you start throwing out in our faces, you're losing this much money when, you know, most people aren't going to make that combined amount, you know, in their lifetime. But at the same time, like, I think people will side with the players when we get to that point, because the owners, again, just try to change it. And it's like, look, I'm not saying as owners either you should have to lose. It does suck to lose this money. Once again, we're in a pandemic. Nobody has been through this in their lifetimes. So stop being, you know, just completely moronic and get it done. And, you know, I mean, they wasted, what, an extra 3 weeks? They probably could have played. The sad thing is, they're both at fault. If they just would have sat down on the video, I would say get in the room, but obviously just get on the video call and just whatever, argue, hammer it out within 2 days. You could have had 81 games and everybody would have got half their pay.
Well,
but
the good part, they're back, though. That's the good part. They're back. They're going to play. My question for you is, because time is starting to get us, do you think they're going to complete the whole season?
Well, I mean, look, they're not playing in a bubble like the NBA. So, again, I like I said to you last time, I mean, with the NBA, same thing with the planes, real quick. I mean, it's one plane for a team. You're always just going to – you're going to be on that plane wherever you go. No one else is going to use it. I mean, that's that. We'll see. I mean, places that there aren't spikes, I mean, these guys are going to be getting tested multiple times. I would like to be optimistic and say without fans. And real quick, another thing I'm so sick of hearing, Paul, is that, you know, with the NBA and the bubble and baseball and the no fans, if I hear one more time that the whining of, oh, but, you know, then they're just in the hotel room or wah, wah, wah. I'm sorry. You chose to do this. You're making millions of dollars. No, if something is going to affect your family and the public and everyone else, you don't have to be at these places. I'm so sick of hearing the whining like, oh, but they need to be. Well, you want to be, and I'd like to be, but unfortunately, I haven't been able to hang out with you. It does suck. But guess what? Like, I'm so sick of, like, in listening to reports about the whining of, well, maybe they're going to want to go eat in the club. Once again, those are all amenities that are great, and we love having them, not in the pandemic. So I would like to be optimistic and say, yes, we can get through a season. They can get through the 60 games. But for the traveling, I mean, I literally think it's just going to have to be one plane per team, and even when it brings them back to their home city, like, it just stays there. It's only for the team. So that's the interesting part. I mean, baseball and obviously football, but, I mean, they got a little bit of time too, has that quirk. So I would like to say we'll have a full baseball season so people can put ketchup on their hot dogs and with relish at the stadium, my friend, and go from there.
Tell everyone about your new show now that you're talking blasphemous type things.
Oh, man. Yes, the first podcast you had me on before, but the first one dropped. It'll drop every Friday, but it's on the Believe Podcast Network. That's BLEAV. But you can subscribe to it wherever you get any of your podcasts. So iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Luminary, TuneIn. And yeah, when you subscribe, I know definitely on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play, you subscribe. When a new one drops every Friday, it'll automatically upload to you. So Ahmad Starks, my co-host, former Oregon State point guard. And we actually, first show we talked is kind of about backgrounds and his recruiting and recruiting in a pandemic. And the next show that'll be up, we actually did father-son duos that played in the Pac-12. We had a mix that both played in the Pac-12, and then, you know, one or the other played in the Pac-12. And it's a very interesting comparison. There's a lot of phenomenal talent that has come through the Conference of Champions. And pretty stoked about that. But yeah, believe in Pac-12 basketball. People should definitely check it out, because hopefully if sports can get rolling, definitely in season, we're going to have a lot of great guests and coaches, you know, players, present and former. So yeah, we're working on a lot, but it's very entertaining. And, you know, I'm a wee bit of a homer, and yes, for this show, people should listen, because I actually do give credit for there being 12 teams in the Pac-12, Paul.
Oh, wow, there's only 11. Give your Twitter and your Instagram.
Yes, Twitter at Diablos, you know, for Devils, at Diablos00. And then Instagram is just Michael.CarrotsNudo77. So, yes,
right,
everything
buddy,
is there. And I look forward to getting to hang out with you, hopefully at having a beer sometime soon. But obviously it'll be at least until August 17th on that. So.
Exactly. Well, listen, in the meantime, thank you for coming on, and stay out of Reno, okay?
Oh, man, if I go to Reno, I'm taking you with me just to remind me to get out of there within a few hours.
Hey, if you call me and you tell me to go to Reno, I got three letters for you, F-O-H, and you can figure it out what that means a little bit later.
Oh, this All guy, right,
buddy.
This guy. All right, thanks, Paul.
Hey, man, I'll talk to you later. Thank you. The one, only, Mike Carotenuto. Let's jump in. A couple Bills, let's come back and tee up a little football, and then we're going to head out of here. Everyone, this is The Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's
about. Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. I want to jump into a couple things with football, but before I do that, just want to remind you, you can hear this show as a replay every day at 3 o'clock on the KSRN Network, Casual Sports Radio Network. Make sure you download the app, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, and you can check us out every day at 3 o'clock as a replay if you missed the show. Also, you can always go to thesportscave.com, click the Listen Live link. It'll lead you to an archive of shows, and there's also some best of shows as well on the left side of the webpage, and that's the Sports Cave with a K. So this last weekend, like I told you, every day we're going to tee up a different part of what went down. We had a great show, great Zoom meeting. We'll have the video up as we're putting video up. I shouldn't say we'll have, because we're consistently putting video up on Instagram, and we'll have the full deal up on the YouTube channel at the end of the week. But got into talking about fans and fans showing up to games and fans not being allowed to come to games, and got into talking about athletes and would they tell the truth if they were really sick. And I want to kind of get into that part first. And you'll hear me ask the question to Jamel Fleming, former cornerback for the Cardinals and Jaguars and the Chiefs. So here's him talking about when football players lie about their health to continue playing. We know guys have played with flu-like symptoms. How long is it before we hear Rona-like symptoms? Game time decision. And they just roll them out if they're asymptomatic. How long do you think it'll be for that?
A couple of years. That ain't gonna happen this year.
Not this year.
I don't even know how. I think they're just not gonna play him. You know, I mean, it's gonna be such an uproar in the media that, you know, he's out there infecting other players and staff members, and yeah, that I don't think he can even play. I think, to be honest with you, especially knowing football. But they ain't going to tell nobody. Don't tell nobody you got sick. You know, that's what I think they're going to do in football. And, and another thing, guys ain't going to, you know, if they're not that sick, they ain't going to say anything, you know. So if they feel okay, you have just too many bodies in football, and it's too competitive because you can easily lose your spot. I mean, it's, you know, all that. You know, you get hurt. I mean, in basketball, if you're LeBron, yeah, losing your spot if you hurt, you're sick. Yeah, man, that's not going nowhere. You know what I mean? But in football, you know, another dude does better, and then they bench you, and then bam, you know, they trade you the next season. It don't matter who you are, too. I mean, if the other dude can do it and he's cheaper or something, but hey, you out of there. So, but I think football, yeah, that's going to be the biggest problem, is that, you know, players won't speak up, and, you know, they're going to have to have mandatory testing before games or something, you know. Whatever.
Cutting of that video is from my main man, Ed Cole. He's right. And the last part was the most important part. They're going to have mandatories, like the other sports. They're going to have to test every day or twice a week or every other day or something of that nature. Because if they wait for football players to say that they have a symptom, they're going to be waiting a long time. Football players are not ever going to admit that they have symptoms of anything that's going to pull them off of the field. We see guys last year, year before that, get mad because they weren't allowed back in the game due to concussion protocol. A football player's mentality is a lot different than any other athlete. Everyone that plays pro sports plays hurt. Everyone that plays pro sports plays with a certain amount of injuries that they know that they probably shouldn't play with. Hockey players, they're a different kind of crazy stuff, so we're not even going to get into them. But the biggest difference, you got to remember, football contracts, unless you're just a special person, are not guaranteed. And Jamel hit that right on the head. Guys are not going to be willing to give up their house payment to another guy because he believes with the sniffles, they're going to hold him out. That's why testing has to be mandatory, and it has to be consistent. So my question is, unlike testing for basketball, where there's a lot fewer numbers, for football, we're talking a 53-man roster. Depending on how they do the preseason, we're talking a whole lot bigger of a roster. We're talking at least 10 to 20 coaches. So if you just add up, and that's just, let's say, easy case scenario. Let's say there's 15 coaches between specials teams and assistants and assistants to the assistants, and you get all those people added in. So you got 15 coaches, you got 53 players. That's before anybody else. That's not the training staff. That's not anybody. If you did 3 tests a week, that's 174 tests a team per week. And you got 32 teams. If you did 3 tests a week just in the regular season, you're talking about 5,103 tests a week. And if you go all the way out to a 16-week schedule, if you did 1 test per team for a 16-week schedule, and I know there's 17 weeks now or 18 weeks now, whatever, just if it was 16, you'd be talking about 81,423 tests. So they're going to have to mandate them. The other thing we talked about were crowds not being there. And again, got Jamel Fleming, and these are his thoughts on playing without fans.
We know guys have played with flu-like symptoms. How long is it before we hear Rona?
Sorry about that.
We know guys have played with flu-like symptoms.
Looks like we queued up the wrong thing. I will have that for you tomorrow. Here's Ed Smith talking about that.
You're coming out of a tunnel on every Sunday. It was intense, but, you know, you get to those special games, and, you know, that football is all about emotion, and mm-hmm. It's all about that fire. You know, Paul will tell you I'm a pretty low-key guy. You wouldn't recognize me on a Sunday coming out of a tunnel, and a lot of that was because of the anticipation of the crowd, whether it be your home crowd boosting you or coming out of the tunnel to all the boos. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, a lot of guys are going to have to try to generate that, and it's going to be difficult. I mean, we used to either feed off the crowd because they're against you or for you, and it's going to be really, just like you said, you know, it's going to be like practice 6 or 7 on 7 or something like that. It's going to be a really difficult, I think, situation for guys to kind of try to have to generate that.
It's not going to be the same without fans. Long story short, it's not the same. It is going to be hard to generate that type of buzz. When you're at a football game, you can feel it. You can feel it in the air. And I'm not Phil Collins, but there's something about being able to feel those fans around you. And I believe I have that Jamel Fleming sound loaded up.
I don't even know how they're gonna play football without, you know, fans in the stands. I mean, it's gonna be like practice or something, you know, I guess, or maybe they can make some crowd noise, or I don't know, but that's just going to be very weird, you know. And then, like, they're going to have, like, a lot of censoring because, you know, people cussing and stuff on the field. I mean, like, we make everything look kind of okay and, you know, fun and, like, all that. But, like, stuff we'd be saying on the field, yeah, it's going to be too quiet. So it's going to be awkward. It's going to be awkward. And I don't know if the players are going to really, like, go for that for very long.
I think it's time. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. It's time to mic up players in every sport and have one game on HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, whatever, or how ESPN did for the Michael Jordan 10-part series. There was one channel that showed it uncut, one channel that showed it cut. I still think that ESPN wouldn't be able to stomach what's literally said on a football field. So they may have to move over and put that on HBO, Showtime. So you hear what guys are really saying. But I think they should do that one game a year. Every team gets one game a year where they can just mic up and be themselves. But without fans, it's going to be different. It is. Viewership, the ratings will be through the roof, and everyone will talk about, oh, look at football. Highest rated game ever. Well, no one's at the game. So you got to watch, excuse me, the game. But I'm a firm believer football's going to find a way to get fans in. COVID-19 be damned. If this season goes all the way through and we get to the Super Bowl, there's no way. There's no way the NFL is going to roll their crown jewel out with open seats. It's not going to happen. And the sad part is most of those seats are corporate seats, but they're not going to roll out an empty stadium. COVID-19 be damned. We're talking about money. Well, that was fun today. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to go at it again. Tomorrow we're going to focus a little bit back on baseball again. We'll get Jim Leywitz talking about fans and the importance of having them during a baseball game and what it was like when he first got to the Yankees. When they were, I don't say they were down, but they weren't. They were down for the Yankees. We'll say it like that. And then if we have time, we'll get in a little bit of what Chucky Brown had to say about basketball and basketball fans. We got a lot of sound to play this week. We'll get it all teed up for you and ready to roll. Today, thank you. Thank you to the guests who called in. Thank you to Michael Caratanuto for calling in. Appreciate it when I get to catch up with him. Some of the videos that are out there that were going up on Instagram, make sure you check them out. It's good watch, good content. So please make sure you're following that at the Sports Cave on the Instagram. A couple of these videos were cut by my dude, Ed Cole. Thank you for that. Appreciate that very much. But it's that time to bid adieu. But you know, when the world is out there and it's crazy and you just want to get bearings on everything, just remember these 2 seconds.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
My man Rich Sines from Fox 10 says, bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all that it's about. We are on the Instagram. We are on the Twitter. And we are on the Facebook at the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. And, of course, you can get us on the website at thesportscave.com. We are there as well for you. And you can get me directly at PLR on sports. Be on the lookout. I will be tweeting out the vlog that I was on with Inside Sports as well. And I'll have that up on Instagram also. Again, PLR on sports on the Twitter. Until tomorrow, thank you for hanging out with us, spending part of your Tuesday. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Everyone, be safe. Mask up.